And great to have you with us. You're here physically, virtually. We're just happy that you're here and joining us. We know there's a lot of different churches that you could be at this morning, but you chose to be here. And so thank you for being here this morning. I had to share with you, this is the time every year where we share at the end of the summer all that God did through camps and through VBS and through mission trip. And yeah, so this summer, it didn't happen. But it did happen in a sense that we got to do our virtual VBS. We had a virtual camp. And so things did happen. And this morning, I want to be able just to share with you for just a moment, because so many of you have asked and prayed and helped to make it happen. I want to share with you about what God did in student ministry specifically, just because that's what I do. But this morning, I want to share with you about our journey week that happened. It's been about a month ago now, but... Am I still on? Okay. We didn't get to have camp. We didn't get to have mission trip this summer. So what we did, we were going to create something that we would be here and doing missions here and having kind of a camp virtual experience here. And then, you know, more mask mandates and everything kind of ramped up a little bit. And so we said, okay, we'll back off. And we did the virtual thing. And so we did a virtual camp. And we actually had a great week. Got some pictures we'll show you. But... we started out every morning with a live stream, kind of like what you're seeing right now, where we joined together and we had devotion for the students. And then Shane Pruitt, a friend of ours, who is head of the Next Gen Ministries for the North American Mission Board, was the speaker and also had worship. And so students got to hear from him in the morning virtually. We'd meet together and we'd get to join in that together and be a part of that. And then after that, we gave them a challenge. Since we couldn't do the mission trip, we challenged our students to find ways to serve in their community. We started day one by serving in their homes, so they got to do different things around the house, like projects that maybe they wouldn't have typically done, or blessing their family by making dinner that night and providing that for them, or vacuuming, or raking leaves, maybe whatever the case is, they got to minister to their families one day. The next day, they were ministering to people in their neighborhood, being able to go and do things for their neighbors and help them out there, or in the community, maybe just writing a letter, a note of encouragement to a police officer or to someone who they knew needed just a kind word. And so encouraging them to think outside of themselves and to go out and to still minister, even though we couldn't physically do that all together. And then in the afternoons, we would go by and we'd see our students. Since we couldn't have recreation during the afternoon, we brought rec to them. And we did dodgeball, we did some water games, we had a lot of fun, brought them some snacks, some drinks. And then that night, we get together again for virtual worship, had a couple different Zoom meetings in there, just a Zoom hang time and then a Zoom share time that night where we all got together. And so it was a lot of fun. And the last night, we actually met together here outside on campus, and our students had the chance to be able to be a part of that all together, separated with masks. But it was a great week. Definitely different, not something that I'm used to and our students were used to, but it was what we needed in the midst of a tough time. And that's what we're talking about. That's what we've been talking about the last several weeks, is how do we navigate tough times? How do we continue as things are so crazy and so uncertain? How do we figure this out? How do we manage this? And this morning, I believe that God has a word for us. And we've actually heard some great teaching the last several weeks from Pastor and then from John, just in sharing with us last week. We've looked at different questions asked. We've looked at peace. We've looked at God's peace that he gives to us, God's protection that he gives to us. We've also last week looked at hope and how we can have hope in the midst of difficult times. And so this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about purpose. And I know that when you go through tough times, one of the big questions that we ask is, God, what is your purpose in this? God, why? Why? What is this? And what is it you're trying to do here? And why is this happening to me? Why are you allowing this to me? Allowing this to happen to me? And so if anyone had a right to ask that question in Scripture, and I'm thinking, okay, this week, who is someone that we could go to in Scripture and dig into their story and see how they answer this question? And you know, it's full of men of God who wrestle with that, that asking that question, that purpose of God. Why? What is it you're trying to do here? We can think about David. We can think about Abraham. Think about Moses. Even Jesus, the night before his death. Just, God, if there's another way, please take this cup from me. This morning, though, I want to share a story with you about one of my favorite teenagers, since I work with students, one of my favorite teenagers in all of Scripture, and that is a story of Joseph. Okay, you know, two different Josephs in Scripture. There's three. But the one we're looking at today is in the Old Testament. And I want to encourage you this morning to turn with me to the book of Genesis, first book of the Bible. We're going to look at Genesis 37. And again, the question of why God is a question that we wrestle with, that we go through. And Joseph certainly experienced his share of tough times. I mean, think about it. He was attacked and betrayed by his family. He was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused. He was imprisoned and forgotten by those he helped. Yet, we see an amazing picture of someone who trusted God and was used by him to accomplish his purpose in the face of personal and national crisis. So this morning, we're going to go to Genesis. And there are some lessons from Joseph's life. And if you're taking notes this morning, I would encourage you, whether you're using the YouVersion app or whether you're using pen and paper, some things that I think that God wants to remind us of this morning, how to navigate tough times, how to try to see what God's purpose is and what does he want us to do in the midst of this time. So some lessons that we can learn from Joseph's life. So the first one is this: in the midst of tough times, we need to remember God's promises. We need to remember God's promises. In Genesis chapter 37, we're going to start there this morning if you'll read along with me. Genesis 37. And Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. These are the family records of Jacob. At 17 years of age, Joseph tended sheep with his brothers. The young man was working with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, the father's wives, and he brought a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than his other sons because Joseph was a son born to him in his old age, and he made a robe of many colors for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not bring themselves to speak peaceably to him. Then Joseph had a dream. When he had told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. There we were, binding sheaves of grain in the field. And suddenly my sheaf stood up, and your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." "Are you really going to reign over us?" his brothers asked him. "Are you really going to rule us?" So they hated him even more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Look," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." He told his father and brothers, but his father rebuked him. "What kind of dream is this that you have had?" he said. "Are your mother and brothers and I going to come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So here we have a teenager who is sharing about a dream that he had, and probably not doing it very humbly. He's probably not being very respectful in the fact, you know, maybe I shouldn't say this to my brothers. Maybe they may take this the wrong way. He wasn't really thinking that. He just, hey, let me just say what I'm thinking. Any of you know a teenager that does that? Just saying. But anyway, so here we see this. Joseph is sharing this, and his brothers and his father are thinking, seriously, really? We're going to bow down to you. Okay, you're just a kid. But you think we're going to bow down to you. So here's the thing. God is speaking. We know from being able to see the end of the story that God was giving Joseph that dream. But at the time that Joseph had it, it was just a dream. Okay, he didn't know definitely that, okay, God spoke to me and he told me this. He just said, hey, listen to this dream that I had. So let's go to Joseph's story. And again, there's some lessons we can learn here. The first thing I said was that we remember God's promises to us. And God had given Joseph a promise of the future. God's promise to Joseph began, if you'll think back, going even earlier in Genesis, we see the story of Abraham. And Joseph had a promise that was given to him, to his great-grandfather, Abraham. Abraham had Isaac as a son, then Isaac had Jacob, who is Joseph's father. Okay, so it's his great-grandfather. And God had promised Abraham that he was going to give him a land. And he promised him that he was going to give him descendants as numerous as the stars. And God promised Abraham that he was going to protect and provide for him, that he was going to bless the world through Abraham. And we know that God used Abraham to bring the birth about of Israel. And Israel is that nation that we're talking about. And so Joseph knew that. Joseph had to have heard that from his father Jacob, who had heard it from his father Isaac, who had heard it from his father Abraham. So this promise has been passed down. And we see in getting to read more of Joseph's story that Joseph knew God, and Joseph served God, and Joseph loved God. So first thing, in remembering God's promises for us, we have to understand that Joseph was given a promise, and now God is giving him a specific promise. It's through a dream, but still God is giving that to him, and that dream will come back to play in Joseph's future. We'll see that here in just a moment. But just as God gave Joseph promises, God has given us promises. God has given us promises of our present and our future. God gave Joseph a promise. God had given his family a promise, but God also has a promise for us in the midst of our tough times, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our difficulties. God has a promise to us, and he promises a lot of things. Scripture is filled with God's promises. I want to share just a few of those with you this morning. That promise that God gave to Abraham to protect him, God also gives us those same promises as his children. Let me share a few passages of Scripture. It'd be great just for you to log these and to be able to go back to them and see that God's promises are all throughout Scripture to us. Let's look at Psalm 34, verses 7 and 8, first of all. Psalm 34, 7 and 8 says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all of their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted." This morning, if you are at a place where you are just feeling broken and feeling wounded and asking God, "Lord, what are you doing?" Understand that the Lord is close to you, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you feel that. You just feel crushed. You feel the weight of everything that's going on. You need to know that God has not abandoned you. And that's one of the very first places we go in our minds, isn't it? We feel like, well, God, are you really there? Because if I'm struggling like this, if I'm experiencing all of this, then why are you letting this happen? Are you really there? Are you really aware of what's going on? The answer is yes. Not only is he there, but he is close. He is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Let's look at this one, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you." So God is not only close to the brokenhearted, not only does he save those who are crushed in spirit, but He is for you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's so important to remember in the midst of your difficulties, in the midst of your struggles, that God is there, and God is fighting on your behalf. God is working. And you may think, well, if God is fighting, then why am I still going through this? I can't answer all those questions. Only God can do that. But you need that he is there. You need to know that he has not left you alone. He is with you in the midst of that. But God also promises, not only am I with you in the present, but you need to know there is a future that I am working out for you in the midst of this. And part of the reason you're going through this and you're dealing with this is because there are things that I am wanting to do in your future. I want you to see 2 Corinthians 4:17. Paul tells us this, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." The things that we're going through right now, they are temporary, they are light, they are momentary, and they are working. These things that we want to be done with, we want to be through with, God is working those things to bring about a future glory for us that is going to far outweigh the struggle that we're facing right now. Oh, it's hard to remember sometimes, isn't it? And it's hard to be satisfied with that. But we have to know that it's true, and we have to go back to God's promises. Just as in the midst of tough times, Joseph remembered the promises that God had given to his family, we have to remember, too, that God has given us promises, that he has shown us, that he is with us, he is for us, he is fighting for us, and he is working to bring about a future glory that is way bigger than what we're facing right now. Last promise I want to share with you this morning, and again, Scripture is filled with them. I'm just sharing a few this morning, but 1 Peter 5:10, Peter shares this: "The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while," now this is written to the church who was experiencing persecution during this time, "but after you've suffered a little while, he will himself restore you." He will restore you. You're broken now, but he will restore you, and he will make you strong, firm, and steadfast. So God is working. God is giving, is working to prepare for us. He's strengthening us. He's working us to produce perseverance and character. We know that, but he's also planning a future for us. And we know that we're going to be with him, and that when the struggles of this life are over, we will be in a place where there are no more tears and there is no more pain. It's hard to think about that, right? Because there is so much pain, and there is so much struggle, and there is so much worry. And we think sometimes that this is never going to end, but we need to know that God is still at work, and God is still all-powerful. So in the midst of difficult times, we must remember God's promises to us. He hears us, he's with us, and he is working to redeem us and to restore us and to make us more like him. So, in going through tough times, we have to remember God's promises. But secondly, we have to be mindful that we've got to redeem the time that we've been given. To redeem the time that we've been given. Joseph, continuing in his story, he shares the dream with his brothers. His brothers hate it. They hate him. And so, they beat him. They throw him in the bottom of a well, and he is eventually sold into slavery. They were just about to kill him. One of the brothers talked him out of it. He was sold into slavery. So he becomes a part of a slave caravan, and then he's sold to Potiphar in Egypt. So he's taken from his home, and he's taken into Egypt, where now he's being forced to work as a slave. Don't you know he was asking that question? Why? Why, God? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? Why have you taken me away from the people that I love the most? Now I'm separated from my family, and now I'm being forced to work as a slave. Turn to Genesis 39, a couple chapters over from where we just were. Genesis 39, verses 2 through 3. I'm told that the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. This is as he's working in Potiphar's household. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his master's sight and became his personal attendant. Oh, that's cool. You know, I mean, Joseph could have been difficult. He could have made life difficult, but instead he worked at it. He worked and he did his very best. And then Joseph gets falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and he ends up going to jail. And there, you would think, okay, well, there he's really going to just shut down and say, I'm not doing any more. God, I'm done. I'm done with this. And I'm going to make life very difficult for those around me. But he didn't do that. In fact, verse 20, we see this. While Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Wow. That's incredible. That's incredible that Joseph goes from being a slave, then he goes to prison. But yet in both of those, he is working. He's doing his very best, and God is showing him favor, and God is blessing his work. Did Joseph wonder why? Sure. Did Joseph complain? Well, Scripture doesn't say that, but you know, internally, I'm sure there was a complaint or two or three or four, right? But Joseph gave his very best. He worked and did his best at every task he was given. He earned the respect and the favor of Potiphar and the jailer and eventually Pharaoh. Because of the work that he did, because he worked to redeem the time, to make the most of the time, even though he's in jail, even though he's a slave, he says, okay, I'm going to do this as if I'm honoring God. God has put me here. God wants me here. And so I'm going to do the very best that I can. So in tough times, church family, in tough times, we also have the opportunity to learn and to grow by serving and being faithful to God. And we are in a time right now, right? We are in a difficult time right now as a community, as a nation, in our world. This is a tough time. And it is so easy, isn't it? It's so easy to look at all the things that are wrong and all the things that we wish were back to normal and to want things to change. This last week, many of you started virtual schooling. And for those of you that are teachers out there that are leading, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for trying to make the best of a crazy situation. Our students did the virtual school this week, and our family was all in that together and doing that. And then and one of our kids just came to me and just said this. He just said, "Dad, I'm tired of this." Now he wasn't complaining, but he just says, I miss school. I miss my friends. I miss getting to go out and play recess. I miss getting to see my friends at lunch. I miss getting to do that. My heart just broke, right? And maybe you've had those same conversations with your kids as we've seen things canceled, as we've seen trips get canceled. Maybe you had a family vacation this summer that you had to nix because of all of this. Camps and VBS and mission trips and school and all these things that have been changed because of the state that our world's in. And it's so easy, isn't it, just to focus on the negative and to think that, God, this is never going to change, rather than just stopping and saying, okay, God, for whatever reason, we're here. And help us, Lord, help us to make the most of this time that we're here. And during the beginning of the pandemic, right, like right around March, you know, we're starting to hear all this positive that, hey, you know, this is good time to spend with your family or to rest, and all of that's great, right? But here we are 5 months later, and we're like, okay, when will things change? We love our family, we love the maybe getting to work from home, but we just look at the world and we know that this is not how it should be. We see the unrest going on in our world, and we think to ourselves, God, what in the world is going on? Will this change? Will this ever go back to normal? And again, I can't answer those questions. But what I can tell you is that God wants us to make the most of this time. God wants us to make the most of this opportunity that we have. And I know it's hard to see it as an opportunity, right? It's real easy to complain. And it's real easy to talk about what needs to happen and what other people should do, but trying to understand that, and this is all just new to everyone. How do we redeem the time that we've been given? And I've given challenges to our students during this time, and I've been so proud of them and how they served at Journey Week, and proud of the things that they've done. But some of them have also worked to share through the platform they've been given. Just to post testimonies. You saw that several months ago. One of our students recently has used her platform on TikTok. Several hundred thousand followers, like seriously. I'm not exaggerating, but using that to share Christ and getting to see people ask her, how can I know Christ? And she's getting to lead them to Christ. That is redeeming the time right there. That is making the most of the opportunities that we have. But it gets hard, doesn't it? It gets hard to remember that because we're struggling and we're looking at this. Let me share a passage with you where Paul helps to drive this point home. This is in Ephesians 5, 16 and 17. He says, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time. Maybe your passage, I think the King James Version has, redeem the time, which is what we're talking about, because the days are evil. And so Paul is encouraging the church in Ephesus. He's saying, make the most of this time. Be wise and make the most of this opportunity. The days are evil. But something interesting to note that when we move to the book of Revelation, we see that God has given John this revelation. And one of the things that God says is he calls out several of the churches. And one of the churches he calls out is the church of Ephesus. And in Revelation 2, verses 2 through 4, it says, to that same church in Ephesus, God says this. He says, I know your works, I know your labor and your endurance, and that you cannot tolerate evil. So here we see that the challenge that the church had been given, the church in Ephesus had been given, they were beginning to apply that, right? You have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. You also possess endurance and have tolerated many things because of my name, and you have not grown weary. Right? So we're saying, good. The church is doing what they should be doing. But then look at what God says. Verse 4, he says, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works that you did at first. So we could be doing all kinds of good things, but if our good things are just good things without the love connection to our Heavenly Father, if we've left our love, if this all this craziness has caused you to say, I'm not so sure I believe any of this anymore, and you've abandoned your first love, or it's caused you to not still look for ways to be the hands and feet. I know it's hard. It's right. It's hard because we're like, well, do I go to someone's house? It's awkward. Social distance. Do I wear a mask? You know, we have to come to the point where we say, okay, get creative. How are some ways that we can still redeem this time? But making very sure that we do not abandon the love that we have for God. It's easy to do when you get so works driven, right? That you forget first love. But God calls us and He reminds us. And what if all of this is an opportunity for God to call us to return as a church, to return as God's people. And I'm talking about the Big C church, right? To return as God's people to say, our land needs revival. Our land, our world needs to return to God. And using this time to pray for that, using this time to just say, God, would you bring us back to you? And it starts with us. So rather than allowing this time to draw you further away, look at this time and say, okay, God, may revival start with me. You know my heart. You know I'm frustrated. You know I'm angry. Lord, would you heal me? Would you restore me? And would you help me to look beyond myself to minister to the world around me? So we remember, in the midst of tough times, we remember God's promises. We work to redeem the time that He's given to us. And lastly, we reflect. We reflect on God's provision. Now understand this. Joseph, when he first is beaten and thrown into that well, he is 17 years old, right? And so he goes from working as a slave to going to prison and staying in prison. And scripture tells us that when he finally comes before Pharaoh and has the opportunity now to be elevated to a position where he can finally see the result. God give, remember those dreams that God gave him? God told him that you would rule, and now he's 30 years old. So he's 13 years he has waited on God. Maybe some of you have been waiting for 13 years or even longer for God to fulfill a promise he's given to you. Joseph waited 13 years, and then it's another 7 years on top of that before he even gets to see his family again. So if you know the story of Joseph, the Pharaoh has a dream. Joseph comes in to interpret it, and basically he tells him that you're going to have 7 years of abundance, and then you're going to have 7 years of famine. So work in this time to prepare for that time of famine. And then Joseph says, you're going to need someone who's wise and discerning. And Pharaoh says, well, you're wise and discerning. Can anybody else find someone like this man who God speaks to? And everybody's like, no. So, okay, you got the job, Joseph. You're the man. And so now for another 7 years is before he gets to see his family. So think about it. That's 20 years that Joseph has been separated from his family. And then if you know the rest of the story, God uses Joseph to provide for the world. The world comes to Egypt because they have this abundance, because God gave Pharaoh a dream that Joseph interpreted, and now his family is coming to him. And Joseph is now getting to see his family and help his family. And at the end, when Joseph brought his family there to Egypt with him, his father, Jacob, dies. And the brothers are worried. Now, what's Joseph going to do? Because we did it to him when he was 17. We beat him. We sold him into slavery. And they're thinking, he's going to kill us. And Joseph, in Genesis 50, verse 20, I love this. And you've probably heard this, quoted this many times. But he says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." After 20 years, Joseph is now able to look back and to reflect on God's provision and to see all that God had done to bring him to this point. You know, Joseph wondered what his purpose was. He wondered what God's purpose was in the midst of being in the bottom of a well, or in a cage in a caravan, or in the depths of prison, or in the middle of a famine. Yet through all of that, God was with him and God blessed him. And Joseph was now able to look back after all these years and to see God's hand and to see God's favor and to know that God had given him just enough of him in that moment to get through that and then continue to strengthen him. And Joseph has this connection with God because of all that God had done. He trusted God and he knew that he could face the next trial and he had more confidence in it because he knew that God had already taken care of him. He had seen God work. And so, yes, in these times we wonder, God, what is your purpose? But we have to remember that part of God's purpose in this is to help us to remember our purpose. The fact that we are made for him. We are made to glorify him. And it's hard sometimes, right? Because we make life all about us and our struggles and our worries and our concerns. But God reminds us that you are here for me. And you are here to serve me, and I want to use you. And when we begin to focus on God's purpose, rather than always asking that question, God, why, to begin to change that and to say, okay, God, how? How are you going to use this? How do you want to use me? What is my purpose in the midst of this? Rather than saying, God, what is your purpose? And so ask that, but to take that next step and say, okay, God, what is your purpose for me in this? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond? See, it's all a matter of perspective. When we stop for a moment and get out of our present situation, and I know that's hard to do, especially with where we're at right now, but if we will stop and remember God's promises, we work to redeem the time that we've been given right now, and to look back on the past and say, you know, God has been faithful every step of the way, and he's brought me to this point, and he is not going to leave me. He's still here, he's still present, he's still powerful, and he is still at work. Our minds, our hearts begin to lie to us in the midst of our tough times, don't they? Where we wonder, how is this ever going to change? What is going to happen here? Will this ever get better? And to just stop and to think that, you know, we're not the first people to ask that question. I'm sure Joseph asked that question too, but God worked in Joseph's life and he promises to work in ours, and he is working in ours right now. Whether you see it or whether or not you see it, he is at work. And his purpose in this, I don't know his overall purpose, but what I do know is that he is working to redeem this world that is broken, and he is working to redeem his people who are also broken. We're broken because of sin, but God makes us whole, and he offers us the opportunity to not have him fix every little problem so that we'll never have problems again, but he gives us that promise of his presence. He gives us that promise of us knowing that he is with us and that he is working to bring about something amazing in our lives, and he wants to use us as a part of his amazing plan for this world and for the people around us. We're here to glorify him. We're here to serve him. We're here to make him known. And he wants to be our first love. So we remember his promises. We redeem the time that we've been given, and we reflect. We look back and see, God, you've always been faithful. You're going to continue to be faithful. And I know that's hard. I know that's hard when you're battling an illness that there seems to be no cure for. I know that's hard when you've lost your job, maybe to the virus, and you think, God, how am I going to make ends meet? How am I going to provide for my family? God promises he's with us. He promises he's not abandoned us. He promises that he has something for us in this time, and he promises that he will continue to provide for us. But that promise is for those of us who are his children, for those of us who are a part of his family. And to this morning, if you're hearing this out there, if you're visiting this morning, and you've never asked for God to be your first love, you've never invited him to take control of your life, you've never recognized the sacrifice that Jesus made and given your life to serve him, this morning you can do that. Let me ask you to bow with me this morning. I want to ask you in these next few moments just to think about where you're at and to think about where we're at as a world. And we have so much going on, right? We are in the midst of some difficult, tough times in our world. And we think there's hope around the corner if they discover a vaccine, or maybe the election will bring this or bring that about. But our only hope is not in any of that. Our hope is in Jesus. And he gives us purpose. And this morning, I want to ask you to focus on that tough time that you're dealing with right now. And just stop for a moment and thank God. Those of you who know him and have a relationship with him, stop for just a moment and thank God. Thank God for his promises that are still true and right. Thank God for his promises. Thank God for the time that he has given us. We are still here. We are not gone from this earth, but we have been put here with a purpose and a mission. As the church, we have been called to be the hands and the feet. And I know that after 5 months of not being all together and watching from different places, it feels hard to feel connected in that. But we have to understand that we are still the church. And we have still been called to a mission to go into the world, to make disciples, to make God known. How are you redeeming the time you've been given? And let's take a moment to reflect, to look back on those mile markers in your life, where you saw God take care of you, where you saw God provide for your family, where you saw God heal you, where you saw God teach you, where you experienced him, and just say, God, thank you. God, would you do that again? Thank him for what he's done. Thank you for what he's doing. And thank him for what he is going to do. For those of you this morning that are here, heads bowed, eyes closed still, please. For those of you that are here or out there watching, you don't have a relationship with God. You've never placed your faith in him. You can't say he's your first love because you've never given him the control of your life. You need to understand that you were made with a purpose, and your purpose is far beyond yourself. God wants to give you the life that he promises, an abundant life, eternal life. But that can only happen when we let go of our life and allow him to take control. We recognize what Jesus did, and we allow him to take control of our life, to be our Lord and our Savior. If you've never prayed that this morning, it starts with just admitting that you are a sinner, admitting your need for God, believing that he loves you, he sent Jesus to die for you, and then confessing that and committing your life to follow him. Our pastors would love to share more with you about that. We can't come down like we've done in the past, but you need to know, whether you're hearing this on your computer, on TV, or here in this sanctuary, you can experience eternal life you can experience abundant life through Jesus Christ. Father, wherever we're at this morning, Lord, physically, wherever we're at, as far as our position with you, those of us that may know you, be walking with you, and those of us that may not yet know you, Father, would you work in us? Lord, would you remind us again of your provision? Would you remind us of your promises? And God, would you help us to redeem the time that we've been given? We love you, Father. We thank you for always being there with us and for being for us in the midst of our tough times. It's in the name of Jesus we pray.